We've seen a human dematerialize more than 1,000 times. It's not a rare phenomena, and the reason that people can dematerialize is because a human body, when it's not in its sort of solid state, is in a hazy wave state, and it's not solid at all, and so that's why people can dematerialize. So this non-solid being is sitting on a stool, and they're essentially a spirit with a physical body that has all of these geometries and mathematics in them. And as the purple light goes through them, like it's really like the Christ consciousness or the Buddhahood or whatever you want to call it, it's difficult to get into terms, but when the light goes through them, it fixes up their geometries and they get better.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
And we're live. Surprise, 10 a.m. Pacific time. We have a surprise for you today. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney. This is News for the Soul. Voice going away. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Got that covered in full. We're on for several hours today, by the way, so stick around. But we're starting out with something really exciting because he's up to good stuff, and I know Kerry O'Connor and I have been talking about him quite a bit lately, so his ears have probably been burning. Well, it's Stuart Wilde. Anything could have been burning. So he should need no introduction whatsoever. Evolutionary, metaphysical, wild guy, author and leader, and always floating around on the outer limits of the known consciousness of humankind. I don't know how else to describe him. He's here, he's now. Stuart Wilde, welcome back to News for the Soul.
Hi, am I online with you? Because I was on your caller line before.
Yeah, you're totally on the line with, I can totally hear you.
Cool. Do you think you could sort of like talk for a minute while I call you back on a phone card? Because
okay,
I'm in a really expensive hotel and they're going to charge me $5 a minute, you know?
Oh, God. Okay.
So
well,
can you tell them something interesting and I'll call you back like within 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, bye-bye now.
Okay. All right. So, interesting. I will tell you about what's going on here. How about that? First of all, for the next hour, God willing, we'll get Stewie back on here in a second, and we will have our conversation for the next hour with Stuart Wilde as to what's going on, because he's suddenly popped up here in Vancouver out of, well, unexpectedly, and he's got some cool things going on, as Kerry O'Connor's been telling us about. She was actually with him in Vegas about 2 weeks ago. This has got to be good. You know it's good if Vegas works its way into the story with Stuart Wilde. So we're going to talk about that for the next hour. Then we have open lines. So that's where we're at right now. And then, okay, Stewie's having trouble calling back in. I'm going to go to a commercial and we'll get Stewart on the line. Hang on.
How would you like to learn how to bend metal with your mind for real? Well, you can. News for the Soul is home to the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, an instantly downloadable digital gift that contains 2 hours of audio and visual instructions designed to get your mind out of the way and teach you how to truly affect solid matter just with your thoughts. Find out once and for all how you are affecting your reality with every thought you think. Don't let anything block you from creating the life that you want. Download the newsforthesoul.com Spoon Bending Kit today. Just go to newsforthesoul.com right now and click on the bent spoon. That's newsforthesoul.com.
We're still working on getting Stuart back on here. He's having trouble with his calling card. So stand by. Stuart Wilde on News for the Soul. God willing. Okay, let's see if we've got him back on. Stuart Wilde,
I wound up in the host queue, and I was going, hello, 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 I didn't get you.
Oh, my gosh, you were hosting your own show.
I'll tell you what was weird, I got a phone card from the 7-Eleven, and when I punched in the code, it said it's an invalid card.
So that took
me 5 minutes. Anyway, listen, nice to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for ages and ages and ages, but we did some shows together years ago, didn't we?
Yes, we did. For going quite a ways back, you know.
It's before the flood.
Yeah, I know. So you're all, I've been talking to Carrie O'Connor. Of course, she's a regular weekly guest on News for the Soul, and she's been telling me all about...
Nicole, listen, your voice is breaking up, so I'm only getting little bits of stuff. Are you on a mobile or something?
No, I'm just going to switch my headset. Hang on.
Okay.
I love the technical things these days. Boy, oh boy, it's just constant.
Yeah, no, that's loud and clear now. That's an improvement. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
So you were talking about Kerry O'Connor. Yeah, she's a good friend, and she came over to Ireland for a few weeks, and she got to hang out with me and other people, and yeah, it was really, really good. You know, Chris Krebsik of thehoodedsage.com was there and so forth.
Yeah, well, she was saying that you're up to some very interesting things, so I'm just bursting to get the latest Stuart Wilde news.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what, okay. Here's the story, Morning Glory. I saw this great light come into my hands about maybe 6 months or a year ago, and I could see it with my eyes shut, inner sight, and I could see it with my eyes open, in a normal sight. And then I saw these visions that told me to go and put my hands on people and, you know, offer them a kind of spiritual renewal, a blessing, a healing, you know. So I started trotting around Ireland, and I went to a place, a sacred well called St. Patrick's Well, and then the committee threw me out. They didn't want me there. So I went to other places, and I've been doing healings in Canada and, you know, just various spots. I'm going to go to Italy and do them in Rome at the Vatican. And I posted all on my site, you know, stuartwild.com with a U-S-T-U-A-R-T, so people can follow along if they come. I've done 2,411 so far. So I'm motoring. Yeah.
You are motoring. I know. And I.
Yeah,
you know,
that's in about 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you know. I haven't started that long ago, you know.
And you were in Vegas.
Yeah, I was in Vegas. I had 705 people. And I did a short healing on all of them, and then I did a much longer healing. So I kind of did 1,410 healings there.
Yeah. So tell me about the healing itself. What is it? What's going on?
Well, what it is, I have to back up and tell you something else. Like 2.5 years ago, I saw this light. I was in Vancouver, actually, on the water, an apartment on the water, facing Granville Island. And I saw this light appear in the room, and it was strobing all around the room. It looked like an oval football. And it was going ping, 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 ping. And it was there for like 5 hours. And I saw the Christ consciousness and the solar logos and hosts of angels, many things, you know. And at the end of that series of visions, and there were four other people in the room, they saw it as well. I got stigmata through my hands and my feet, and it's the sensation of nails or skewers going through your skin. It's extraordinarily painful, and it's been raging for like 2.5 years. It's eased off a little bit now, but it's still going. And it was really, really strange, you know. I really didn't know what was happening, but I was very calm and composed, and I saw visions and stuff that helped me. And it was after the sort of pain of this stigmata thing for 2.5 years that the light came into my hands. So it wasn't sort of like imagined or hold on a second, I don't know how to operate this bloody system. Hold on a second. Oh God, if I cut you off, I don't dare cut you off. Can you hear that phone ringing?
I can hear, but you know what, that's good.
Just let it ring, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue how to operate these things.
We don't want to lose you now. It's just...
No, I'm totally technologically challenged. I mean, I can't work a toaster, you know. anyway, it was after the stigmata came and went. I mean, it went day and night for 24/7. And sometimes it was so excruciating, I'd have to lie on my bed and sort of meditate my way through it for an hour. Anyway, then after all of that, the light came. And essentially... it's a purple light, and it goes inside people, and it changes their fractal codes. It changes their geometries and the mathematics of their body, because humans are essentially lots and lots of little boxes, like pixels on a photograph, and those boxes contain codes, like geometries and mathematics and tubes, you know? And so this light goes through the person, and where there's black, let's say, because they have some dysfunction in their body, it changes the code from black to purple, and they get better. And I've done healings on leukemia and brain tumors and asthma and autism, gout. I published on my site a few days ago, and 25 other diseases. But when I'm working on them, I don't know necessarily what's wrong with them. They may be troubled, psychiatrically troubled. I got one guy out of an insane asylum, and he called me from the asylum, and I told him what to tell the doctors to call him into letting him out, and he did that, and they let him go. And then he came to Ireland, and he stayed with me, and I did a healing on him. I mean, he was absolutely demonically possessed. He was completely round the bend, and he was cured, and he went off to Switzerland and got a lovely job at $120,000 a year.
Well, you have been busy.
Yeah.
So, why is this happening, first of all?
Well, my old teacher said 40 years ago that when this great darkness falls upon the world, because he knew all about the fascists and all this stuff that's going on now with, you know, the arrests without trial and wars and all that stuff. He said when all that darkness comes around, which it has to come around because the human shadow has to come out and people have to see how ugly it is. He said that when the shadow and this darkness falls upon the earth, that the eternal Tao and the feminine spirit would come back to earth. And as to compensate for the darkness. And so I think that why now is because the world is going ever more degraded and ever more, you know, broken down. And it's just being ruled by these sort of fascists that are not even American. I mean, they come from another place. Hello. Are you there, Nicole?
I'm here. Are you
there?
You
have to say something now, like, well, that's jolly boring, too, or something like that. I don't know what. Say whatever you want to say.
Well, you know, hasn't the darkness always been here? We're just seeing it now? I mean, do you mean the fall?
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly here. It was certainly here during the war and stuff like that with Hitler.
And before, in the Dark Ages,
before.
When we think it was here.
Yeah. But for some reason, we're approaching the end time, and so this is a sort of final phase, a recapitulation of evil, and then a recapitulation of the Christ consciousness, the solar logos, and goodness. And the solar logos is essentially a celestial light, and I was watching it like a couple of years ago, and I saw it coming into land, you know, and when it landed, I translated it into this massive electrical transformer that was the size of like a small house. But essentially that light is here now, and the Christ consciousness is in there, and the Buddhahood, and the light of the, you know, the gods and the angels and the feminine spirit and Gaia, it's all there inside this solar logos. And so it landed, and now we get the benefit from it.
All right. So did this light or this vision, did it just come to you?
No, other people have seen it, like many, many, many have seen it. And sometimes they write emails and explain what they've seen and so forth. And Chris Krepsik, the hoodedsage.com, he writes about it. And it's a common thing. I mean, there's many, many, many visionaries and psychics and teachers that can see that light now. You know, it's common to all of us. It's not an exclusive anything, you know?
So what do you, are other people doing healings with it?
That I don't know about, I've got no idea, because there was a doctor that came to me, and I held his hands for 20 minutes, and then he went off and did healings, and he cured a lady of multiple sclerosis by just putting his hands upon her, and she went off to the hospital, and she had a scan, and the lesions in her brain weren't there anymore. So I have transferred it to two people by just holding their hands, and the doctor was the most spectacular transfer. But yeah, there's no exclusive anything, you know. I mean, it's like, it's the Christ consciousness. It's everywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, so, I, you know, Carrie came on and she said that she was blown away because you cured something in her head or something the first time that she got together with you. So she's been going on about it ever since.
Well, and she had something in her hand that was becoming infected, and she would have had to go to the hospital for antibiotic injections. And after the healing, it wasn't there anymore. And so she was happy. Carrie was, yeah.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, it's miracles, but it's not really miracles, because it's mathematics, it's geometry. So the purple geometries and the purple mathematics go through the person's body in the space of a few minutes, and it just changes the geometry of the septic finger, or it changes the geometry of the leukemia or the cancer or whatever else is, you know? So all of those things have a geometry. They have a fractal code, like the Mandelbrot set. It's all a series of geometries and fractals. We're not solid beings. You know, I've seen human dematerialize completely, myself and others, We've seen a human dematerialize more than 1,000 times. It's not a rare phenomena, and the reason that people can dematerialize is because a human body, when it's not in its sort of solid state, is in a wavy, hazy wave state, and it's not solid. It's not solid at all, and so that's why people can dematerialize. So this non-solid being is sitting on a stool, and they're essentially a spirit with a physical body that has all of these geometries and mathematics in them, and as the purple light goes through them, like it's really like the Christ consciousness or the Buddhahood or whatever you want to call it. It's difficult to get into terms, but when the light goes through them, it fixes up their geometries and they get better.
So I know you were having events where you were trying to train people to see that dematerialization for a while. Were people able to see it?
Yeah, that's why there's 1,000, you know, that's why we've seen it for 1,000 times, because 200 of us have seen it 5 times each, let's say, you know.
How do we see it without being able to train with you personally? How do I see someone dematerialize?
Well, I can't guarantee that somebody that hasn't trained with me can see it, because I don't know where they're at and what they believe and, you know, how balanced they are and so forth. But this, the inner sight comes from softness. It comes from kindness and calm. And it comes from the trance state. So you have got to be able to meditate and hold the sort of theta trance state for cycles a second. And then those inner worlds open up. But they only open up as much as you open up. And they only open up as much as you can purify your life, you know. So the inner sight is usually denied to people that are sort of unprocessed and that haven't worked upon themselves and their shadow, and they haven't developed that kind of generosity and charity and kindness in their soul. You know, you have to have a good soul to see.
So you're getting all of these, you've got this light coming to you, you're being guided to travel around. Have you had many visions as to, you know, where things are at and where they're going in this transitional time?
Well, I've seen lots and lots of sort of visions of the destruction of Jerusalem and so forth. And I've seen visions of the collapse of the stock exchange and the sort of American political system and so forth. So we're living in a precarious time, because things could go belly up at any time. I mean, right now the stock exchange is sort of being pumped by the Federal Reserve, and they're sort of pumping it up no matter what the news is. But once the election's over, it could easily come down. And then again, if there was a massive earthquake tomorrow somewhere like California, or if a meteor hit New York, you could see the stock exchange collapse overnight. So we're in an age where the shadow's coming out, the goodness is building to compensate for the shadow, and then the systems of 3D, like Wall Street and so on, that's so like corrupt and manipulated, those systems eventually fall apart, because everything has to return to a sort of order, a beauty. You know, it's like Gaia, the spirit of the earth, is here to restore the natural balance of things.
So you're still seeing that sort of process going on. What on the other end of the scale, with this light coming in and other stuff on that end of the scale, what are you seeing for the future?
Well, you don't get to see, like, you know, 10 and 20 and 30 years ahead, but I don't believe that the world will end in 2012, you know? The Mayan culture was extraordinarily rinky-dink. I mean, I don't know if people know that, but it sort of covered just maybe 1,000 miles of Central America. And they were very cruel. They were black magicians, and they had these blood sacrifices and tens of thousands of slaves, and they would chop people's heads off at the top of the pyramids and roll them down the hill. And what happened to the Mayans was that in the end, the slaves rose up and they slaughtered the kings and the priests and the aristocracy. And they stole the gold and returned back to their families in the forest from where they were originally captured. So the Mayans couldn't really foretell their own demise, and they couldn't foretell that, like, karma would find them and they'd all be rubbed out. And the fact that their calendar ends in December 2012 is, like, completely irrelevant. So I've seen visions of 2016, so we're definitely going to get past 2012.
Well, we're on the same page there, that's for sure. I love that. Rinky-dink. There you go.
Yeah.
But what is your most immediate communication? I mean, you're being guided to go to all these places. You're going to the Vatican. When's that happening? And how do you think that's going to go?
I'm doing healings in Italy, in Turin, on October the 14th, and I'm in Volterra on October the 16th. And I'm just waiting to confirm with a contact of mine in Rome. So I would say October the 18th I'll be in Rome, right there in front of the Vatican, where the obelisk is.
And how do you think that's going to go?
Well, I've seen loads of visions of the collapse of the Catholic Church and its rebirth, its reconstitution. Once all the pedophiles and the black magicians are tossed out, it'll become new. There'll be a new pope, and it'll come clean in the end, you know, because it is a great inspiration for many religious people, albeit the dogma and all of that is very simplistic, but it's what they believe and it helps them. But we need to clean the gaff up, you know. We need sort of Schwarzenegger to go around and clean house.
Oh, I'd pay money to see that.
Yeah.
So what's happening here in Vancouver then? It was on the 20th, right?
Yeah, I've got some healings on the 20th. I only send it out to the Stuart Wild A-list people because I've got so many readers in Vancouver and so many people know me here that I was scared of getting swamped. And I could do about 80 healings in 2 hours. And I didn't want 500 people coming, so I didn't post it to my site. Now, it's faintly possible, and I have pre-booked the healing, the rooms that I've had to rent for Saturday afternoon. And if I go ahead with Saturday, I will post it on my stuartwild.com site Thursday night. But the Thursday healings are just for the people that I'm emailed on the A-list, because I was scared, man. I was scared 500 people were going to show up, you know?
Totally could happen, yes.
Which could easily happen. And I just don't want to disappoint people, and I don't want them getting angry, and I don't want them jostling and fighting each other. And, you know, there's only a limit to how many I can do. When I do the healings, I usually do 2 hours, because when I put my hands on people, I have to concentrate ferociously. If I have any slight, you know, interruption in my mind, I have to start again. So if I'm doing a healing and I suddenly think, oh my God, did I leave the iron on? I have to start again. So then to concentrate, you know, on 80 people for 2 hours is quite a sort of effort. And I find that at the end of the 2 hours, I'm really fried and I can't really go on much past that. I can sometimes take a half-hour break and then do one more hour, but I'm limited to how many I can do at any one time.
This is the first time you've been guided to do healings, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to do some in the past, but they were all like more people with psychological problems or people that were demonically possessed. I've done like about 40 or 50 exorcisms. And essentially, I put my hand on the person, and I scare the ghouls and the devils out of them. And that's how I do my exorcisms. It's dead easy, really. It's like baseball backcountry, you know? So, yeah, this is the first time that I've been sort of shown, you know, the healing thing. But again, it came from the stigmata. And when I tell people, hey, I've got stigmata, they look at me really blank and start twiddling with their dress, you know, looking up to the sky. They don't really know what I'm talking about. But it's the sensation of nails going through your hands and your feet.
Why do you think it would come through for you in that kind of way? I mean,
oh, look, I've asked that why me question, and it's kind of irrelevant, really, because, you know, it's like, and, you know, why did it go to Padre Pio? I don't know. I mean, perhaps, I don't know. There was reasons for it. There must be some sort of higher reason, but mainly it's because I can handle the pain, and I'm willing to go out and do the work afterwards. So I would say that those were the two main reasons.
Huh.
Because somebody else, if they got it, they'd panic, you know, and they'd be in hospital, and doctors would say, we don't know what's wrong with you, and they would go into sort of a psychological, psychiatric mess with that kind of pain going day and night. So I think because I can handle the pain, and because of meditation and trance and so forth, that's why I got it, you know, but I don't have any other reasons. I mean, I wasn't shown any particular reason.
That's actually very true, isn't it? I mean, we would have a quote-unquote normal reaction if we weren't, you know, really prepared. And your health is good?
Yeah, yeah, I'm very strong. I've got a lot of stamina, you know, so I'm okay.
Hmm. Are you able to heal yourself when things come up, or if they
always,
should come
always.
Up?
Always, yeah, always, every time. Yeah, if I have, let's say, I don't know, a pain in the gut or something, I just mentally put my hand inside my body and I say a couple of little sort of prayers. Because when I do the healings, Nicole, I watch for these purple hands to come up, like a vision of a purple hand, you know, and I watch for them to come up 9 times. So when I'm touching somebody on the shoulders, I watch for those visions to come up, the purple hands. They come up. Once they've come up 9 times, the healing's over. So that can be like in 15 seconds, they can come up 9 times. But then I go on and I do some protection prayers and stuff as well, you know, beyond the actual healing. But yeah, I can sort of do the healings in 15 seconds. And then when I have a problem, I had a sort of indigestion pain across the top of my chest a few days ago, I just put my hand inside my own body and I pull it out and that's it.
So how much is it driven behind your own intentions and attention, and how much is coming through you from somewhere else?
Well, I don't know. I can't sort of be particularly accurate on that. I don't know. But I don't charge for the healings that I do, and I do not accept donations. So there's no sort of ulterior motive on the financial front. So I've done 2,411 healings free of charge. I don't charge people. Now, when people come to a gig and there's a big hotel and the promoters are paying $10,000 a day, they have to charge people to provide the space.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different thing. But the street healings and all the other healings I've done, I've never charged anybody ever. And I never will. I'm just not allowed to charge, and I don't want to charge, because I don't want a person sitting on the stool thinking, how much money have I got to give this git? And will a tenner do, or should I give them $50? You know, I don't want them thinking like that. I want them to concentrate on their salvation, their redemption. I call it the spiritual healing, the second chance. And it's like, hey, you know, do you want to be absolved, and do you want absolution for your illnesses and your, you know, disquiet and your pain, because here it is, and it isn't going to cost you anything. So what's my intention? Well, my intention actually is to flee to the pub and not come back. So, because it's a lot of hard work. It's expensive flying around and driving around to the various locations. And but there's a sort of love in it. There's a kindness, and you sort of want to try to sort of be kind to people, because I have a compassion for their disquiet, their energy and their disease. So I'm kind of honored to help them. But there's no real ulterior motive in it for me, other than the energy heals me when I'm working with it. So there's a defined benefit there.
So were you guided and told it had to be free?
Well, there wasn't as if like some, you know, angel with flappy wings came down and said, make it free. It's just instinctively I felt like, hey, I didn't pay for these hands. I didn't pay for this light. I just got this light from the solar locus. It was given to me after a certain couple of processes I had to go through. And it's not fair that I charge people for it, because I never paid for it in the first place, you know? And, you know, with the economy being as it is, I mean, how much can you charge a person? Okay, let's say they've got leukemia, right? I met a bloke in a pub that had leukemia, and I did a healing on him, and he was cured. And he went to the hospital, and they said his leukemia was non-detectable. They couldn't find it. Okay, when he's sitting there on the stool, he doesn't know who the hell I am. How much is he going to donate? Like $5, $10? What's, you know, leukemia worth, you know? And then later on, perhaps after he was healed from leukemia, he might want to donate, I don't know, $100 or $10,000. But I just don't want people getting into all that mess. You know, here's the light. It's free of charge. I got it for free of charge, and you can have it for nothing.
So how long do you think you're going to be traveling around doing these healings?
I don't know. It could be 5 or 10 years, you know.
Wow. Because I know you particularly are not a big fan of air travel.
Well, only because, you know, I've been like 62 times around the world, the equivalent thereof, and I've been to 61 countries, and, you know, when you have to go through the airports and the security and all that stuff and the pat-downs and stuff, one guy put his hand down with trousers, you know, at the airport, one of those TSA guys, and I said to him, I said, look, sir, any more of that, I'm going to have to charge your entertainment tax. Now, when you knock it off, you've got your hand down my bloody trousers. You're not allowed to touch me, Willie. Now, F off and leave me alone. You know? So that stuff's, you know, very disturbing. And if I was a wealthy man, which I'm not, I'd have my own little plane and I would zoom around. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of air travel. I think it's very degrading. But, hey, how are you going to get to these various places, you know? I can heal radiation in people, Nicole. So I was thinking of going to Japan.
I was just going to say, is that on your travel plans then, Japan?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I mean, I don't know anything about Japan, and I don't even know if I have any... Oh, I know I've got Japanese readers, but I'm not really linked into people in Japan. But when people come to the healings, I test them with a Geiger counter, and we just run it across the front of their body. And we get these readings off of them for their, you know, the amount of radiation they're giving off. And on our Geiger counter system, about 30 to 40 clicks is normal, and past 60 is abnormal. So this lady came along, and she was German, and she had a reading of about 66. And I did a healing on her, and then I retested her, and she was down to 45. And then a young boy came to see me in Cranbrook, B.C., and he had a reading over 60, and again, he went down to like 38, 40, something like that after the healing. So somehow this purple light, the fractal codes, goes through the body and removes some of the radiation and restores the person back to normal. So yeah, I might go to Japan. I don't know. It's difficult. I don't really know any people there, you know?
Well, I'm sure someone's listening. We have listeners there in Japan. And
yeah.
Who knows? Is there a guidance coming through with this purple light? I know there's no flappy wing angel, but I just keep getting pulled back there.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes, there's a guidance in the sense that I see these visions, and a lot of them are quite technical, and quite a lot of them are technological, you know, they're complex mathematics to try to understand. It's not like I have to necessarily clunk the numbers, but I've got to understand what the pictures mean. Mm-hmm. And a mathematical formula or a geometric pattern is a code, so you have to understand what it's actually saying. And so, yes, there is a guidance trickling through. But there isn't a sort of spirit guide or Jesus or, you know, Kud Humi or Bongo Dongo, the famous Tibetan. They're nothing. No, it's just information. So I sit there, and sometimes I pray, of course, you know, and ask questions. But essentially, I'm praying to the four walls. So I'm going, hello, walls. Now, how do you feel about healings in Zambia next week, you know, whatever? And then the information comes flying in. So essentially, it's information that it may come from some, I don't know, highfalutin spiritual place, but it doesn't seem like that to me. It just seems like visions that I see that emanate from my higher self.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably exactly the same thing.
I'm sorry, Nicole?
Which is probably exactly the same thing, just semantics and different ways of seeing it, right?
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's not like, I mean, I've seen hundreds of visions of Jesus. I mean, I saw one 3 days ago. And sometimes he's doing strange things. Like I posted on my site that I saw a vision of Jesus with a pig. And a pig is a symbol of the end time. Because when we see an apparition in the sky of an upside down pig, that's the end. So with him having the pig under his arm was a way of saying that he's a custodian of the end. But it says in Revelations that he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. But it was a reassuring vision to think, well, it's all going to be all right.
Wow.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yeah, did I answer your question or did I just ramble around it? I can't quite figure it out.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Are you still writing?
Yes, I am, yeah. At the moment, I'm working on an upgrade of a book I wrote in the mid-90s called God's Gladiators.
Ah.
And it wasn't published by my publishers, Hay House or Random House or any of the other publishers that I've had contracts with because the book was quite controversial. But so it was published by a very small American publishing company. A man called Mark Ellis published it. And now I'm going to do a sort of an upgraded version and publish that. So I'm going to renew that book because it was actually, other than Plum Red, which is my latest book, it was the best book I ever wrote, God's Gladiators.
It was intriguing indeed. I remember speaking to you. That's the one you wrote in a remarkably short time, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw this being that appeared at the end of my sofa in Australia. And she had this digital fractal golden eye with sort of golden circuitry in her eyes, and she showed me the destruction of Jerusalem and several other visions. And then I got this feeling that she wanted me to write a book, and so I started the book at 11 o'clock on Sunday night, and I wrote it and finished it at 5 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, less than 4 days. And that was it. I wrote for 23 hours a day, and then I would have a steam bath and a cup of coffee and an egg sandwich, and I'd meditate for 20 minutes, and then I'd write for 23 hours again. So I wrote the book in 4 days, more or less nonstop, with 4 hours rest.
Steam bath and an egg sandwich.
That's it. Steam bath,
wow.
Egg sandwich, and a cup of coffee. Yeah.
That is amazing. Wow. Okay, so when that revised version going to be ready for us?
Well, it'll be done in a week or two, and then it has to go to the printer. I mean, before Christmas we should have it, you know? And then I'm thinking of about one more book. I mean, I've just bought out a book called Plum Red, which people say is very beautiful. I mean, it's not for me to say it's beautiful, but people say it's very beautiful. And it's sort of spiritual teachings presented as stories from the time of like 250 to 500 BC. And it's stories of the Taoist sages, and one particular order of Taoist sages that were known as the sages of the plum red robes. And so that's why the book's called Plum Red. But it's not in the shops at the moment because we're having difficulty getting distribution and so forth. But if people click it, they'll find it. We have another site called thesacredtearsofgaia.com, and they can buy it mail order from there.
Excellent. I just want to remind people, because I'm getting 8 million emails here, it's all on linked up on our homepage, newsforthesoul.com. You've been here a while. Off and on over the years, many times we've talked, intriguing conversations, many times. And you know, I got to say, I think you're one of my favorite human beings.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
How long are you in Vancouver for?
Oh, I've been here for 3 weeks on and off, and I've been around to Cologne. I did a bunch of healings in Cologne and Cranbrook and so forth. So I'll probably be here like a week, 10 days more, and then I have to flee because I've got to go work. Got to go to work.
I would so love to be able to get together with you while you're in town.
Call Ryan for the phone number, because I don't want to get you over
that.
Okay.
No, of
right,
course.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. You'd have a lot of calls. But that would be great if we can connect, and I'd love to experience.
Yeah, we can. If we can't do it this time, I'll be coming back. So we'll do it next time. I'm sure within a month or two I'll be back here, because there's so much stuff going on here at this time, you know? And
yeah.
I'd like to do healings in Victoria Island. Is that what it's called? No, what's it called? Vancouver Island. Isn't it? Yeah.
Vancouver Island, yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And,
do you get drawn where the healings are needed most?
I think there is some inner system that draws me to places, but I'm not aware of it, you know?
Very interesting. Well,
I might get an impulse. For example, I had this impulse to do some healings in London, in Battersea Park, where the Golden Buddha is, and I typed it out, and suddenly it disappeared from the software. It wasn't there. So I had a little bit of a sort of irritation and a slight, you know, threw me dolls out the pram and put the bloody thing back in again. And it blipped out a second time. And then I thought, right, one more time, this is it, it cannot possibly blip out. And the third time I put London and the details, it blipped out a third time. So I decided I'm not supposed to do London, not at the moment anyway. So for the software to suddenly just accidentally blip itself out, and it was an article on Irish healings and Italian healings and so forth. It wasn't like the whole article disappeared, just those couple of sentences that referred to London, and they disappeared three times. So yeah, maybe there is a guiding system that goes delete. I don't know, but I don't want it to make it sound like, I don't want to make it sound, Nicole, like there's any specialness involved. You know, the light is for everybody, and yes, I've garnered this light in my hands because of the stigmata. But, and so what? You know, who cares, you know? It's only a matter of whether the lady sitting on the stool is going to be cured of her pains, you know, or the gentleman. That's all. That's all that matters. It's all about the humans and their pain. It's nothing to do with anything else, you know?
Well, I would just so love to experience this light and be able to tell everyone, you know, what's going on from a different perspective. And let's get together when we can, Stuart.
Yeah, well, look, if you want to come to the healings tomorrow, call Ryan and he'll give you the address. He's going to have to ask me for it, but if I get an email from him asking me for the address, then come along. It's 12:30 to 3:30.
Okay. All right.
Tomorrow.
Sounds like a date.
Near where we met before, you know? Okay?
Yes, I got it.
All
okay,
right,
perfect. I feel very surreptitious.
Well,
Stuart, it is a pleasure as always, and keep us in the loop.
Yeah, I don't want to deny people, but I'm so terrified. You know, like one day 5,000 people are going to rock up, you know? And I'm
That's
just
right.
terrified of 500 people rocking up, because I can only do 80 in 2 hours. Now, I don't know, if I see some visions that allow me to sort of zip through 500 people, pinging them, then I could up my quota. But at the moment, I'm limited to this sort of hands-on. Well, I do people two at a time, and they take sort of a couple of minutes each, because, you know, I use one hand with one person and one hand on the other person's shoulder. And doing that, I could do 40 an hour, 80 in 2 hours, and that's it, you know.
That's it. Cool.
That's
well,
it, man.
I will try to be there, and I so appreciate you being here today, Stuart. It's always a great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
StuartWild.com will keep you posted on and keep us in the loop as things evolve.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I write my blog every day, and there's two or three articles every day, and some of them are teaching articles, and some are sort of things on lucid dreams, and today I posted a funny one about the Mormons and their underpants. Well, you know, the Mormons believe they have magical underpants, and I did a Mormon magical underpants story.
I literally never know what you're going to say next. I love that.
Well, the thing is, I like to write humor into my stuff, because some people take spirituality and the journey and metaphysics and religion, they take it really seriously, and there's nothing serious, you know. God's mm-hmm. a comedian, you know, she's very funny.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, you'd have to have a sense of humor to be God, wouldn't you? So, yeah, no, she's a funny person. And so I just want it all to be light and breezy and normal. You know, spirituality is the act of becoming ever more normal. That's what it is. It's becoming natural and returning to Gaia and your nature self and the normality of things, rather than, you know, wandering around with a diaper on your head clanking a bell. Not to say that that's wrong. But it's all a bit over the top, do you see?
It is.
It's a thing that you have to evolve through eventually. One day you look at the diaper and you think, this is absolutely silly. Why is this on my head and why am I clanking a bell? And you go to the pub instead.
There you go. Stuart Well. In
God
a nutshell.
Bless.
Thanks, Stuart.
Yeah,
take
bye-bye
care.
Now.
We'll see you soon. All right, stick around. We're just getting started today. That was, by the way, if you missed the intro, Stuart Wild, stuartwild.com, the one and only. And more on that to come.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
I'm kind of having my own 2012, Nicole. There's a real energetic change going on, and a whole new era of my life is opening up, and I've waited for this for a long time. When you have one after the other after the other, it's like, all right, bring them on, whatever, whatever. Because they ain't going to stop me. You know, I ain't going to be stopped. So throw everything you like, you know, and it don't matter, you know. Some of these scientists, the ones that understand that the carbon dioxide causes global warming scam is a nonsense, they are utterly incredulous at how obvious it is what the real cause of global warming is while it's being completely ignored. It's on that lie, provably so, that all these new laws, taxations, changes, impositions are being justified. We ain't seeing anything yet. I'm not having it. I am not showing up. I will not shut up. And if what I'm saying is true, why should I? No matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter. It's an illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Icke. Well, it's been a while since we've talked. And
well, I've been in bunker, mate. You know what I mean? I would in my bunker producing this new book.
Well, I want to find out about the new book, obviously,
okay.
And a little bit about filling in the blanks. I've had people writing me over the last year and a half going, is David okay? Is everything going all right? And so, you know, we want to address that.
All right.
Why don't we start there before we get to the book and the new stuff?
Okay.
As far as, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm going through great changes in my life at the moment, and they're manifestations of energetic changes. Where I mean, I've been going through another transformation, if you like, over the last kind of year, but it's getting stronger and stronger. I'm kind of having my own 2012, Nicole, I think. There's a real energetic change going on, and a whole new era of my life is opening up, and I've waited for this for a long time, because the last phase, which I guess began around 10 years ago, has been real, real tough, and it's something that's been very difficult to get through sometimes, despite producing all the books. You know, it's been my most creative period of my life, but it's been a real challenge in many ways. And the challenges continue, but, you know, life is about not so much challenges, but the point from which we observe them. You know, you can look at the same thing, and one person sees it completely different to the other, and one goes through emotional trauma as a result of their point of observation of this situation, and someone else, it doesn't matter. You know, just get on with your life. It's not the problem you think it is. And I tell you what I've started to do as this energetic change has proceeded and got more and more powerful, is that I've taken a different point of observation to everything, and it really, really does not help put this illusory, nonsensical crap into perspective. I was listening to some interviews with near-death experiences a few weeks ago, and there was tremendous common themes there in terms of what they experienced. But I remember one who said the moment he left the body, there was no past, present, or future. He knew what people were thinking about him. He knew what people had thought about him. He knew what people were going to think about him. There was no sequence. There was no time. There was no space. Everything happened in one now. And, of course, the perspective of this reality while he was encased in the computer, the body that filters reality so that we only experience a small, tiny band of infinite possibility. His perspective of that from where he was just dramatically different. Of course it was so many things that mattered. Oh my goodness, he's so important. Oh my goodness, mate, it's so stable. Oh my God. Well, chill out. It's all an illusion. So I'm more and more putting my point of observation there of this world rather than my point of observation being how you're supposed to, in emotional and mental terms, react to certain things. Another thing that I do, it makes people sometimes difficult to understand why I do certain things, is the point of the whole thing that I'm doing is to put before people information and understandings that will allow them to have another view of reality. Don't mean they have to believe it, but at least it will be put before them. And at the end of my life, the end of this illusory experience, how I will look back from that point of view where that near-death experience there was will be very different to the way that people would perceive life as they live it as they go through. And what I mean by that is I will be saying to myself, did I do what I set out to achieve? Did I do as much as I possibly could? And if the answer to that is yes, then, you know, I'll feel good. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm pleased about that. But what tends to happen is we get caught in irrelevancies and diversions, and we get pulled from that absolute focus. This is what I've come to achieve, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is going to take my priority. Things that some would think were important in terms of, I don't know, relationships, whatever, to me, they're just part of the illusory journey. And okay, you learn from them and you can enjoy them or not enjoy them or whatever, but the focus of my life is first and foremost to put before people information that they don't normally receive. Because when we leave this world and we look back from that vastness of perspective comparatively, it's not, did you say the right thing to this person? Did you go to the right place here? All that stuff from the five sense point of view. It's, are people in that five sense reality in an Orwellian state? Are their children being microchipped at birth? Are they being completely disconnected from their infinite multidimensional self? Or has a contribution been made to stop that happening so that people can experience this reality, and it's just a reality and we can experience it and, you know, a good time, but in freedom of thought, in freedom of action, in freedom of living your perspective, rather than being born into an Orwellian world of machine-like control. That's where I come from. I come from that perspective of I'm going to do what's best for this work, whatever you want to call it, at all times. And that makes me live my life with a different set of values in terms of, you know, what priority in my life and what's not.
And it's interesting how, as you mentioned, you know, you go through these changes and awakenings, and it's not like the other stuff necessarily goes away. You just see it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still there. And maybe amplified even. How is the court case thing going?
Well, that runs on and on, and it's enormously expensive. You know, I've had people come into my life in this cycle of 10 years, and it's been an interesting, from the perspective I am now, to look back and see how the people, first of all, vehemently say how passionate they are in supporting what you're doing. And, oh, this information's got to get out, and it's all fantastic, and, oh, my God, it's so important. And at the same time, they make your life and your ability to communicate that work more difficult than anyone else. And in this period now that I'm living through, these people and those influences, those energies are going out of my life, and this is all part of this transformation. We can see the problems we have as, oh God, everything's gone wrong, oh my goodness, or we can say, hey, how do you make steel stronger, harder, more impossible to destroy? You put it through fire, you know, and you hammer it into what you want. No one said it was going to be easy, so I've had so many challenges in my life, and it's not just me. I mean, of course, everyone has challenges in their life, but I've had so many challenges in the last, 20 years, that it's like my arthritis, Nicole, to be honest. I've had arthritis since I was 15. I played professional soccer with it till I was 19, and then it got so bad. Sorry, 21 it was, not 19. I thought I was going to stop at 19, but I kept going till 21. And I played professional soccer, and much of the time in agony. But eventually it was too bad, I had to give up. And it's kind of, you know, progressed through the years and stuff like that. And to me, pain that would give incredible grief and suppress the people's ability to do things and put them in a really bad space because it's so painful. To me, it's so natural to me to be in pain that the threshold just is not the same. And that doesn't mean, you know, I'm better than anyone else or braver than anyone else or anything like that. It's just the fact that I have experienced pain on a daily basis since, well, I was a teenager virtually. And so, therefore, it's not the same to me. And it's a similar situation with these challenges you get. Just one of the challenges might floor people and make them give up. But when you have one after the other, it's like, all right, bring them on, whatever. Because they ain't going to stop me. You know, I ain't going to be stopped. So throw everything you like, you know, and it don't matter. It's like, I really remember the Muhammad Ali fight when he fought George Foreman. And Muhammad Ali was coming towards the end of his career. He was not as fit and strong as he was before. And George Foreman was the big hitter. He was the man, the champion. No one could beat him. And Ali went in the ring with him. And George Foreman threw punch after punch after punch after punch. And Ali was virtually throwing no punches because he was just defending himself from damage. And then in the end, Foreman had punched himself out so much he could hardly lift his hands in the air, never mind punch anybody. And Ali hit him and he went down. I come from that perspective, if you like. Not that I want to hit anybody or hurt anybody, but these challenges and people that try to bring me down and people that try to make what I'm doing more difficult, often while saying that they're trying to support me, that is just, you know, okay, just another thing to deal with, so we'll deal with it, okay? And through all of this period of 10 years, like I say, while all this has been going on, it's been a tremendously creative period for me. It's been the most creative period of my life, with book after book after book after book. And I've been through this situation to secure control of my books, which is still going on, although we're further down the road than we were when we started. And without the financial support of people that support me through the website, you know, we would be finished now. I mean, there would be no books. None of my books would be in circulation. There'd be no new ones. Simple as that. And it's been a fantastic encouragement to me on a level that people who've contributed will never, never fully understand. To see in the situation that I'm in, trying to communicate information through blockages in our society, which is actually structured to stop this stuff coming out, obviously, that there is so much support, and I'm not on my own. It feels like it sometimes, but I know I'm not, and this court case has shown me that, and so it has its positive side. So in this period where I've been involved in legal things and going to court to get control of my books again, I've also written a really major work, which is just been finished, is going to come out in September, which is pulling together all the things that I've researched and come up with over the last 20 years, plus a massive new stuff, and it's fitting the dots together. You know, and at the end of the day, sometimes I've been working 12 hours a day on it, six in the morning. I like to work early through to six at night, sometimes eight at night, and it's been such a mental challenge because there's so many dots to connect and so much information to hold in your head until you can connect it with this and weave it with this. But sometimes I walked out of the little office where I work like a zombie. You know, what day is it? What planet is it? What's my name? But this has all been done while all this stuff's been going on. So it is possible, despite efforts to divert you, despite efforts to block what you're trying to do, it's still possible to deal with that and still keep walking. mm-hmm. and still keep producing. And I think this is the most comprehensive and cutting-edge book that I've come up with so far.
I've always noticed that. It's amazing what we can do when we have to, when we're pushed to the wall and extended by these kinds of things. So what is the book called?
It's called The David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy, and the subtitle is Brackets and How to End It. And it's weaving together not just how the conspiracy works, but the nature of reality and how it's manipulated, how we create reality, how the body is a computer and we identify with the computer as who we are when we're really consciousness. And there's lots of people doing fantastic work communicating now the five sense level of this manipulation, the banking scam, the political manipulation, the wars on terror and 9/11, all that stuff. And that's all in the book. It's all weaved together with all this other stuff. But to really, A, understand the scale of what's going on and the foundation of it, which is the manipulation of our reality by understanding how we create reality while at the same time structuring society and education and science so that we don't know that. If we don't know how we create reality and the manipulators do, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, talk about candy from a baby. It's a piece of cake to manipulate vast numbers of people. If you don't understand that, then you can reveal, and it needs to be, and congratulations to them, you can reveal the way the five sense level of reality works and how it's manipulated and how the secret societies operate and how politicians are wangled into position and how they're not in power at all. They're just vehicles for people in the shadows who are the real power structure. You can do all that, and it should be done. But to really understand the big, big level within which that plays out as a physical experience, we need to understand the nature of reality. And we also need to understand that for the crucial part of the book and the crucial part of what we're doing, which is, okay, there's a manipulation going on, we're being manipulated to operate in five sense reality and disconnect from multidimensional consciousness so that we have a tiny, tiny perspective on life and who we are instead of being able to see it in the greater vastness of all that is. To do that, we've got to understand reality and how we create it so that we can stop having people manipulate our reality to suit them and start to create our own one that we want and take the freedom back to create our own universes rather than have to be imprisoned in someone else's. All that's in the book, and I'm so pleased with it because of the way the dots connect. And the more that I worked on it, the more the dots connected, the more blatant and understandable became the way the world is structured today. Why things are done in certain ways, why they're structured in certain ways, why this happens, why that happens, why they do it that way. Once you get the bigger picture, you get the coordinates for who we are, where we are, and what's going on, then the world starts to make absolute sense, because it's so important that the pressure groups of various kinds that are challenging the environmental things, they're challenging banking scams, they're challenging the pharmaceuticals, government manipulation, they need to understand they're actually challenging the same force. And all these different things that these pressure groups are set up to campaign against or for are actually faces on the same, or masks on the same face. And we need to start getting together and understanding this, otherwise we're just divided and ruled even at the level of campaigning to change the injustices of the world. Another area that I go into in some detail in the book, and I think it's becoming increasingly important, Nicole, to be honest, and that's global warming. What I call the carbon cultists are now using global warming to bring in a change, more and more draconian rules, laws, more and more taxation, more and more reasons to stop doing this or to do that. It's becoming more the problem, reaction, solution, excuse than even 9/11. It's very, very important that people realize that, yes, the temperature is going up, but the lie is in the why. Why is it going up? It's going up not because of human carbon dioxide emissions. It's going up because the sun is generating more solar radiation. And when you hear the propaganda, the world's top scientists are all agreed. No, they're not all agreed. The United Nations Panel on Climate Change is actually a political organization. And many, many, many scientists that were even involved in the reports don't agree with the conclusions that the report comes to, which have been communicated through an unquestioning media to the public, who get the impression that everyone's agreed. No, they're not. And the evidence is absolutely blatant and stunning that the sun is emitting more solar radiation, therefore it's warming. And that's why other planets, including Mars and others, are also getting hotter. Now, let me think. Now, also, these different planets in this solar system are all getting hotter at the same time. Now, what's the common theme? Do they have factories on Mars? Do we ever see a picture of that on Mars and things? Or what was it? What could it be? Maybe it's turbocharged trucks on Jupiter. Maybe that's what it is. It's the sun. Of course it's the sun. It's the common theme. And what a staggering thing, Nicole. What a staggering kind of conclusion to come to, that when the sun gets hotter, the planet temperature goes up. Have you noticed that? When you go out and the sun comes out, it gets warmer. I mean, some of these scientists are...